Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus on the most famous prayer of all time, which is the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11. In our text, the disciples ask Jesus how they should pray. In response, the Lord teaches them that, well, the simple but powerful and profound prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. We say the Lord's Prayer every Saturday and Sunday here at St. Matthew, and it's easy for us because we're so familiar with it to forget the significance and the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. There is so much in this prayer, much more than we could possibly talk about here in one sermon. The main point I want to get across today is that the Lord's Prayer teaches us who God is. God is our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven listens to us, he helps us, and he forgives us. Number one, our Father listens to us. One of the most important things to understand is that the Lord's Prayer teaches us about God's heart. Jesus instructs his disciples and us to pray, Our Father. God is not just the Almighty Creator. He's not just the big boss man in the sky. And God is not a magic genie from a Disney movie granting us a certain number of wishes. No, God is your loving Father. He loves you, he cares for you, and he listens to you. That's where prayer comes in. Prayer is not just a bunch of requests that we send in by email and hope for a response. Prayer is not like shopping at Amazon.com, where we load up our cart with all the goodies on our wish list and wait for the packages to arrive at our door. No, prayer is not a chore that God has us go through because, well, he can't think of anything better for us to do with our time. No, none of these things are the case. Prayer is our half of a conversation with God. God speaks to us through his word, and we respond to God as we speak to him in prayer. It's part of our ongoing conversation, our ongoing relationship with God, our Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't so much command us to pray, he invites us to pray. Prayer is not a chore. It is a privilege. The privilege of talking to the one person who wants the best for you, talking to the one person who has the power to help you, talking to the one person who loves you more than anybody else. God's not some cruel taskmaster or the one who wants to make your life harder. God's your Father in heaven who invites us to pray. I love how Martin Luther puts it in the Small Catechism in his explanation of the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Says, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. This is all about the relationship we have with the Father because of what our Savior Jesus Christ has done. God invites us to pray because we're his children and we belong to him. He wants us to pray. He invites us to pray because he loves our prayers. He loves hearing the sound of your voice. And Jesus teaches us that when we pray, we should be bold in prayer, to ask with all boldness and confidence. Or as Jesus puts it in Luke 11:9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus emphasizes to us, his disciples, that since our Father in heaven loves to hear our prayers and he has power to answer our prayers, we should be bold to pray. We should keep on praying. The verbs here in this verse could be translated, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Be bold and persevere in prayer. You can talk to your Father in heaven at any time, in any place, and about anything. If you have a need, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you have trials and temptations, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you are weak or heavy laden, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you feel like giving up, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're having a tough day, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're having a great day, take it to the Lord in prayer. You get the idea. He's the Father who loves us. He's the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Or as the Lord puts it here in our text, Luke 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our Father in heaven knows how to give us good gifts. He will not give us everything we want. Only the worst fathers do that. He will not give us everything we want, but he will give us everything we need. He'll not give us gifts that will harm us, but the gifts that will help us. And that's point number two. Our Father in heaven listens to us and he helps us. That's what the Lord's Prayer is about the good gifts God gives us to help us. Now here we have the fourth petition. Give us each day our daily bread. So first of all, our Father provides for us. God gives us gifts that will meet our physical need. He gives us our daily bread. And of course, daily bread is not just food, but everything we need for this body and life. God gives us our daily bread. Every meal we eat is not an accident. It is not just luck. Every meal we enjoy is a gift from God. That's why it's important to give thanks to God at every meal, to remind us where this food actually comes from and give thanks to the one who provides it. God provides food for us through means we call work. The ability to work, make a living, is a blessing from the Lord. God provides us with a body and a mind, as well as physical health and strength, so that we can work. And therefore, through work, not only meet our own needs, but we can also meet the needs of other people. I was amazed by the work I saw this weekend as people were serving the Lord for our yard sale. I was amazed by all the donations, the hard work the volunteers put in. It was great to see, and I know you didn't do it for yourselves. You did it for the Lord. It was a great thing to see. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. But of course, daily bread doesn't just mean food. It's not just a loaf of white bread. Daily bread includes everything we need for this body and life, clothing and shoes, house and home, family, friends, and everything we need for our life. As we start adding up all the physical blessings God gives us, we start to see how incredibly generous he is. He gives us our daily bread, but he gives us so much more beyond that. Because God is good and gracious, and he provides for his children. God helps us. First of all, our Father in heaven provides for us. Second of all, our Father protects us. Luke 11, verse 4. Here we have the sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation. Our Father doesn't just provide for us, he also protects us. We live in a fallen world, and a fallen world is a dangerous world. Danger surrounds us everywhere we go. We are surrounded by physical danger. The world is full of violence and bloodshed. We need God's presence and the protection of his holy angels to keep us safe. But even more importantly, we need God's spiritual protection. That's what the sixth and seventh petitions are about. Lead us not into temptation is a prayer for protection, but it's a prayer for protection from our own sinful nature. God does not lead us into temptation. James 1, 13 and 14 makes that crystal clear. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is enticed when he is lured and away. But each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own evil desires. We need protection from ourselves, or more accurately, from the sin that lives inside each one of us. The sin that lures and entices us away from God and towards our own evil desires. But that's not the only source of temptation. The sixth petition talks about, well, protecting us from ourselves, our own sinful nature. The seventh petition is about protecting us from the world and the devil, the other two enemies that tempt us away from God. The seventh petition can be translated, deliver us from the evil one. In the sixth and seventh petition, we are praying for God's constant protection from the spiritual dangers all around us. The Lord promises that he will protect us through the power of his Holy Spirit. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. We don't protect ourselves. Rather, God, the Holy Spirit, protects us, watches over us, and keeps us in the one true faith until life everlasting through the power of his word and sacraments. See, this is what God does for us. God, our Father, listens to us. Secondly, he helps us by providing and protecting for us. And third of all, he forgives us. Luke 11, verse 4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. At the heart of the Lord's Prayer, at the heart of Christianity, is the fifth petition. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who sins against us. God forgives us and wants us to forgive other people. Now, we all sin, and we are all in need of forgiveness. God gives us that forgiveness for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. And that forgiveness is complete and unconditional. But we must not take it for granted. This forgiveness was paid for at a price. The price was the blood of God's own Son, Jesus, dying on the cross to pay for our sins. This forgiveness is free for us, but it's not free. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our forgiveness. That's what he wants us to do. And remember, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. But the fifth petition is not a transaction. We're not making God a deal. Well, if you forgive my sins, I'll forgive other people. No, that's not how loving relationships work. The fifth petition is not a transaction. It is a response. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The fifth petition is a response. It is a response that comes out of a gratitude and thanksgiving for what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. Forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you. It's not a deal we make with God. It's a petition for help. The fifth petition is not a deal we make with God. It is a petition asking for his help, a request asking that God help us to forgive others, because forgiving other people sometimes is really, really hard. In fact, sometimes it's impossible for us to do. We can't do it by our own effort or power. We can only do it with God's help, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're praying for here. Lord, I'm a selfish, self-righteous sinner. Please, by your grace, help me forgive others the same way you forgive me, freely and unconditionally, through the blood of my Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is for us to know this kind of forgiveness. What a blessing it is to know that God is our Father who loves us, a Father who listens to us, a Father who helps us, a Father who forgives us. And what a privilege it is to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.